translation. The self-centered materialistic ego, thus being transformed into three features, becomes known as the modes of passion, goodness, and ignorance in three divisions, namely the powers that evolve matter, knowledge of material creations, and the intelligence that guides such materialistic activities. Narada, you are quite competent to understand this. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It's a little bit long, so bear with us, try and stay attentive and awake. Materialistic ego, or the sense of identification with matter, is grossly self-centered, devoid of clear knowledge of the existence of God. And this self-centered egoism of the materialistic living entities is the cause of their being conditioned by the other paraphernalia and continuing their bondage of material existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, this self-centered egoism is very nicely explained in the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27. The self-centered impersonalist, without a clear conception of the personality of Godhead, concludes in his own way that the personality of Godhead takes a material shape from his original impersonal spiritual existence for a particular mission. And this misleading conception of the Supreme Lord by the self-centered impersonalist continues, even though he is seen to be very interested in the Vedic literatures, such as the Brahma Sutras and other highly intellectual sources of knowledge. This ignorance of the personal feature of the Lord is due simply to ignorance of the mixture of different modes. The impersonalist thus cannot conceive of the Lord's eternal spiritual form of eternal knowledge, bliss, and existence. The reason is that the Lord reserves the right of not exposing himself to the non-devotee who, even after a thorough study of literature like the Bhagavad Gita, remains an impersonalist simply by obstinacy. This obstinacy is due to the action of Yogamaya, a personal energy of the Lord that acts like an aide-de-camp by covering the vision of the obstinate impersonalist. Such a bewildered human being is described as mudha, or grossly ignorant, because he is unable to understand the transcendental form of the Lord as being unborn and unchangeable. If the Lord takes a form of material shape from his original impersonal feature, then it means that he is born and changeable from impersonal to personal, but he is not changeable, nor does he ever take a new birth like a conditioned soul. The conditioned soul may take a form birth after birth due to his conditional existence in matter, but the self-centered impersonalists, by their gross ignorance, accept the Lord as one of them because of self-centered egoism, even after so-called advancement of knowledge in the Vedanta. The Lord, being situated in the heart of every individual living entity, knows very well the tendency of such conditioned souls in terms of past, present, and future, but the bewildered conditioned soul hardly can know him in his eternal form. By the will of the Lord, therefore, the impersonalist, even after knowing the Brahman and Paramatma features of the Lord, remains ignorant of his eternal personal feature as ever-existent Narayan, transcendental to all material creation. The cause of such gross ignorance is constant engagement by the materialistic man in the matter of artificially increasing material demands. To realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to purify the materialistic senses by devotional service. The mode of goodness, or the brahminical culture recommended in the Vedic literatures, is helpful to such spiritual realization, and thus the jnana shakti stage of the conditioned soul is comparatively better than the other two stages, namely dravya shakti and kriya shakti. The whole material civilization is manifested by a huge accumulation of materials, or, in other words, raw materials for industrial purposes. And the industrial enterprises, kriya shakti, are all due to gross ignorance of spiritual life. In order to rectify this great anomaly of materialistic civilization, based on the principles of dravya shakti and kriya shakti, one has to adopt the process of devotional service of the Lord by adoption of the principles of karma yoga, mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 9:27 as follows. Yad karoshi yad ashnasi yad jahosi dadasi yat yad tapasya sikunteya tad kurushva madapanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. Read the verse one more time. Sahankara iti prakto vikurvan samabhutrita vaikarikastaja sascha tamasascheti adbhida dravya shakti kriya shakti jnana shakti iti prabho. The self-centered materialistic ego, thus being transformed into three features, becomes known as the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance in three divisions, namely the powers that evolve matter, knowledge of material creations, and the intelligence that guides such materialistic activities. Narada, you are quite competent to understand this. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshodamilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, it's quite technical, this verse. Some devotees don't particularly like these parts of Srimad Bhagavatam, although I like it. I find it very interesting and enlivening, the creation and the different divisions of creation, how it all manifests, and it's very important to our culture to understand how, what is our conception of creation. How can you have a spiritual path or a religion if you don't have an understanding of that? And it's refreshingly interesting and personal and scientific in comparison to other explanations that we hear. So it may be technical, it may not be everybody's cup of tea, so to speak, cup of herbal tea, but it's definitely worth hearing. And as we know, Srimad Bhagavatam is taking us gradually, step by step, to Krishna's pastimes, and it's giving us an understanding of how Krishna is present everywhere in this creation. So it's an important thing to understand. And the whole process of creation is being explained here in this chapter, in these verses. And what we're dealing with particularly here is how the three modes of material nature, which were mentioned in the previous verse, transform again. So it says here that the false ego manifests as the three modes of material nature, and then the three modes of material nature divide again into dravya shakti, kriya shakti, and jnana shakti? And jnana shakti. And this is, it's the powers that evolve matter. I think that's dravya shakti, knowledge of material creation, kriya shakti, and intelligence that guides such material activities is jnana shakti. So it's thinking about material activities and then arranging it, engaging with it, and then the actual raw materials that you're dealing with. So when I think about these things, when I've heard these things before, I just think of, you know, industrial cities, London. I was just in London yesterday, Soho, and cars and buses and pollution. And we're seeing so many pictures of Ukraine at the moment, destroyed buildings and just so much matter and so many different forms and such enterprise and industry. And so much intelligence has to go into that, organizing it. This is what people spend their lives doing. And companies and organizations and governments organizing how things are going to run, institutions, systems, organizations. But it's all just matter. It's all just the material world. And if we don't understand the connection with Krishna, it's a big zero. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, that you may have one GCSE, you may have three O-levels, you may have a few A-levels, you may have a degree, postgraduate or PhD, it's all a zero if it's not in connection with reality, no matter how much you have. Just like Vishwan Bapu was saying in class recently, he was distributing books, and he met one guy, a very wealthy gentleman, and he said, I'm very wealthy, but I'm bored. I'm bored with my life. I'm working, I've got lots of money, I've got a nice car, but it doesn't mean very much to me. So unless we see the connection with Krishna, all of the splendor of the material world is meaningless. If you're paying real attention to the purport, which is difficult to do when you just hear it one time, then you would have seen how Srila Prabhupada, he starts talking about impersonalists. When I was preparing for the class, I couldn't quite understand why the Prabhupada talks about the ego in the beginning of the purport, and then he talks about how impersonalists, how they misunderstand Krishna, and they think that Krishna, he says here, that takes a material shape from his original impersonal spiritual existence. And I couldn't understand how that's related to the verse and why Prabhupada talks about that, because he talks about that for almost a whole page. And then I realized that he says here, in the Bhagavad Gita, this self-centered egoism is very nicely explained in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verses 24 through 27. So it's actually these verses that Prabhupada is referring to when he's talking about impersonalists. I'll just read these verses. They're famous verses. So this is Bhagavad Gita, starting verse 24. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. 25. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me no one knows. O Scion of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. So Prabhupada thought this was relevant. This came into Prabhupada's mind, and this is what he's speaking about in the next paragraph or so, how people misunderstand Krishna. They don't understand that he has an eternal form of eternality, bliss, and knowledge. They think that he comes either from some impersonal aspect and he turns into a person, or they understand, as Prabhupada said, the Paramatma feature and the Brahman feature, but they don't understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada is talking about that there. And it's an important point that we'll come back to in a little bit, that the whole basis of this verse and other verses around here is the false ego. That it all comes from the false ego. And it's an important aspect in the creation that actually the three modes of material nature are made of false ego, which is an interesting thing, because like you would think it's kind of like a personal thing, like, yeah, I've got a false ego, but I don't know whose false ego the three modes of material nature are made out of, whether it's mine or somebody else's, but that's what it says. The self-centered materialistic ego, thus being transformed into three features, becomes known as the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. But it's all based on the false ego, this false conception of who I am. And unless we have a clear and correct conception of who Krishna is, then we can't understand who we are. I heard some classes recently, and it was all about how they were preaching classes, but about understanding ourselves, understanding the soul. But if we don't understand Krishna, then there is no meaning to that. We're not just a soul like floating around or walking around. It's all based on Krishna. We are parts and parcels of Krishna. So we have to have a clear, concrete conception and understanding of who Krishna is to be able to understand who we are. Srila Prabhupada said that when the sun comes up, then it illuminates everything and it illuminates you as well. But you can't be illuminated separately. You can't just like turn a switch and the sun shines on you. You can do it with a light switch, but that doesn't count. So when the sun comes up, it illuminates everything. It's self-effulgent. It illuminates the whole world. It illuminates the whole universe, including us. And when the sun comes up, then you can see the sun. You can see everything around you, and you can see yourself as well. So it's only when we understand who Krishna is that we can actually understand who we are as well. One time, I've heard it I don't know where I've heard it. Actually, I think my spiritual master said it himself. My spiritual master had a dream. It just relates to me, to this, to this Dravya Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, the material world, different manifestations of the material world, Prabhupada said, industrial enterprises, everything being based on matter. Adigrupu was saying to me that everything being based on money, which is totally true, the whole material world just revolving around this, just everybody chasing money. From as far as I understand, when you look at society, that's what it is. That's what it's based on. That's what governments are based on. It's not based on any ethics. It's not based on any good motivation. It's not based on trying to help the planet or people's self-development or anything like that. It's just what is going to make money. And what makes money, that's what you do, right? Because people are running businesses. They're employing people. You get a job in something that's making money at that time. The whole world is just based around making money. So my spiritual master had a dream one time, and the dream was that he was in Goloka Vrindavan, and he was with Srila Prabhupada, and they were walking through Goloka Vrindavan, all very beautiful, forests, peacocks, the cows, Yamuna River, beautiful pasturing lands, just, you know, perfect, idyllic Vrindavan. And he was walking there with Srila Prabhupada. And everything was very beautiful and blissful. And then Srila Prabhupada stopped at a certain point, and the sky was there, beautiful sky, and he took a zip, and he unzipped the sky, and he opened it. And when he opened the sky, then you could see the material world, you could see the whole material creation. There was many material planets and material world and everything related to that. And he could see, my spiritual master, that there were so many people there working in factories, driving cars, getting on the bus, going to work, coming home, sleeping, working hard, suffering in the material world, as we see day in, day out. And Srila Prabhupada said to him that, he said, you're here, you can be here, you can come here, but please just do something to help these people. Just do something to help these people that are lost and covered in the material world and suffering, having to go through all of this, these material activities. So to relieve ourselves, to try to gradually become free from this ahankara, this false ego, then we have to cultivate knowledge of who we actually are. Krishna Surya Samahoya Maya Andhakar. That Krishna is like the light and Maya is like the darkness. And where there is Krishna, then there is no darkness. So when we cultivate this knowledge of Krishna, when we hear about Krishna, then it dissipates this false ego and we can actually start to understand things as they are. And there's three different aspects to this knowledge also that we're trying to cultivate. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So we have to understand who I am, that I'm a soul. We have to understand that I have a relationship with Krishna, and my relationship with Krishna is, we should understand, at least in Dasya Ras, that I am the servant of Krishna, the soul is a servant of Krishna. We should understand what are the activities that the soul engages in to serve Krishna, to connect with Krishna. That's Abhideya Gyan, like Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam, all the different aspects of devotional service. And then also what the goal is, the Prayojan. That the goal is Krishna Prema. The goal is to go back to the spiritual world, to eternally be with Krishna. And when we cultivate that knowledge, then we're gradually stepping out from that false ego. That's our correct ego. We're understanding that I'm a servant of Krishna, and we're understanding who Krishna is, and we're understanding how to interact with Krishna. Then you're not on the platform of false ego anymore. You're on the platform of the correct ego. Also here, you may have noticed at the end of the purport, Prabhupada is talking about these different things, and then what does he give as the solution at the end of the purport? Does anybody notice? No? Nobody? No? Okay. He says here, after speaking about all these different topics, false ego, three modes of material nature, impersonalists. Then he talks about cultivating knowledge in the mood of goodness. Yeah. At the end, he says, in order to rectify this great anomaly of materialistic civilization based on the principles of Dravya Shakti and Kriya Shakti, one has to adopt the process of devotional service of the Lord by adoption of the principles of Karma Yoga. Yeah, yat karoshi yad ashnasi. Which is interesting, right? You would more expect Prabhupada to say, by adoption of the principles of Bhakti Yoga, or of devotional service, or cultivating devotional service. So why do you think Prabhupada said Karma Yoga? Because we're hearing in Chaitanya Charitamrita every weekend, right, that Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, it's all, you know, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, we don't like these things, it's inferior, it's external. So why is Prabhupada saying that here, that the culmination for the whole purport is do Karma Yoga, sacrifice some of your hard-earned wealth for Krishna? Why do you think Prabhupada is saying that? Yes. Yeah, exactly. And Adi Guru Prabhu was saying that it's a stepping stone. And I think that's why Prabhupada said it, because he's talking all about the material world, the heavy material world, the materialistic ego being covered. And he's saying that we have to adopt the principles of Karma Yoga. Where are you going to start? I remember when I started coming to the temple in Soho Street, then Mahajyoti, now Maharaj, was the temple president. And one of the first things he got me to do was donate to the temple. I gave a donation. I didn't join the temple. I don't think I'd even started chanting then, but I had some money from something, and he got me to spend some of that money on Krishna. I could do that, you know. Maybe I wasn't going to shave my head and join the temple, but I could give, you know, 20 quid or 50 quid or something. So it's a good step. And of course, it leads on to higher things, but it's an important thing to do. It may be something that we also neglect. Maybe for brahmacharis, they don't do it. But for grihasthas also, it's an important thing for us also to do, maybe back to yogis and trying to practice pure devotional service. But are we actually giving our money as well to the temple? Are we actually contributing something from the money that we have? So interesting that Prabhupada put that there. And for me, I think one of the most powerful things here, and one of the most powerful things in this chapter, and one of the most powerful things about hearing about creation, is that you realize it's just such a big illusion, this material world. Our existence in this material world is just, it's a total dream. It's a total fabrication. Like it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that it's, this world is a world of names only. You have a car, you have a body, you have a family, but what does it mean? Like your car is, it wasn't a car. I mean, if it's a new car, it wasn't a car 5 years ago. It was just raw materials somewhere else. You know, if you get in a car crash, they'll send it to the scrap heap and it will be, you know, a sink next week or something else, you know. It'll, I mean, my car, I've had some old cars, so they've been cars for a while, but they probably won't, you know, remain cars for very much longer. But this body, what does it mean? It's just in constant state of flux. What does our family mean? I've got two little boys, so it's an interesting experience having children, having your first child, because there wasn't one. You didn't have any children. And now you've got a child, and you're a father, you have a child. But I didn't have one before. You know, where did it come from? Now I have this child, but that soul is, you know, recycled. He came from somewhere else. He was someone else before. So to say he's my son, or just say that that's my car, I mean, it's not accurate, actually. We use it for convenience. We should actually say it's Krishna's energy. That's the correct understanding. So it's just a world of names, and it's such an illusion. And the biggest illusion is us identifying with this material body and this material identity. Not just this material body that, you know, I'm a man, or I'm white, or I'm English, in my instance, but, you know, I have this nature, so I may have a brahminical nature or a Vaishya nature or an artistic nature, or I have this kind of sense of humor and this English nature. It's all such an illusion. It actually has nothing to do with us. whatsoever. And it's easy to say, but it's so ingrained in us that it just covers us. And it means that we're blinded. It means that we're actually blind. So I was thinking of the example that we are like blind people, or almost totally blind people, that are just kind of walking around in this world with no idea where we are or no idea where we're going, because we don't actually understand who we are or who Krishna is. Even as devotees, we still don't know who we are, right? We have this conception, okay, I'm a soul, I'm a servant of Krishna. But as my spiritual master is saying, that's an extremely general statement. You're a soul, okay. Materially, we know where I live, right? Where I live, how old I am. I've got my CV, what I've done in this life. I have my plans. It's very specific, you know. Somebody asks you, how tall are you? Like, how tall are you, Ian? Do you know exactly? 5'7", exactly. Do you know how much you weigh? Yeah, so we know every single detail, right? About this body, about this identity. But we're not this body. We have so much knowledge about something that we're not. And when I say, okay, well, who are you? Who actually are you? Okay, somebody tell me, who are we? We're servants of Krishna, but it's like, okay, but that's pretty general. It's like saying, I'm a human being. Yeah, I'm a human being, but there's a lot of specification within that category. So when we say, I'm a soul, that's a good start, but that's not enough. And not that we should make it up and say, okay, yeah, well, I'm, I don't know, a peacock and I'm, you know, 90 centimeters still. Not that you make it up, but it's like, well, that isn't enough to say that I'm a jiva, I'm a soul, or I'm Krishna Das. That's not going to get us back to the spiritual world. You go to the gates of Vaikuntha and they say, okay, where's your ticket? You say, oh, well, I'm a soul. And they're like, yeah, but you could go to Dwarka, you could go to Vaikuntha, you could go to Goloka Vrindavan. Where do you want to go? I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm a soul. Yeah, but which one? So we have to take that seriously. Otherwise, we are like blind people just bumping into things in this material world. And speaking for myself, I really am like that. That we're occupied with material things, we're occupied with gratifying this body, and our spiritual identity is a million miles away. So it's definitely something that needs to be cultivated seriously if we wanna achieve success. But how do we do it? We know that we're engaging in activities of the soul by hearing and chanting about Krishna, by performing devotional service. These are activities of the soul. It's like a child. If you want to learn how to ride a bicycle, then you don't just teach him, you know, tell him about a bicycle, right? He's not going to just hear about a bicycle or look at bicycles in the shop. You have to get him on a bicycle. And probably you wouldn't, if you're like a kind parent, just stick your child on a bicycle and say, you know, good luck. Like, push him down the hill. You're going to get those, what are they called? Stabilizers. So you're going to get a little bike and you're going to put stabilizers on it and you're going to go somewhere safe and you're going to start. And he's going to fall off probably. Actually, he probably won't fall off with stabilizers. But he's going to start, get used to what does it mean, pushing, feeling, being, you know, balancing on top of the bicycle. So it's the same with us. Hearing and chanting, Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Hearing and chanting, seeing the beautiful forms of the deity, taking prasadam, it's like us sitting on the bicycle with the stabilizers that, okay, this is what a soul does. This is what souls do. And this is also what they're doing in the spiritual world. Golokera premadana harinam sankirtan. So this hearing and chanting, this kirtan, that's what's going on in the spiritual world as well, whether it's in portion of Goloka Vrindavan where Radha and Krishna are, the portion of Goloka Vrindavan Shweta Dweep where Lord Chaitanya is performing his pastimes, they're doing kirtan, they're playing madanga, they're wearing dhotis, they're playing kartals, they're chanting and dancing in ecstasy. Abhay's like, yeah, that's where I want to go. So yeah, I can play madanga up there as well. So it's like we're sitting on the bike, we're doing the stabilizers, but the unfortunate thing is that we're doing this, we're immersing ourselves in the activities of the soul, but we're thinking about other things as well. It's like if you want to clean something, I've got lots of examples of little children, because we've got little children, but if you want to clean something, say we're coming here, we're engaging activities of the soul, hearing and chanting, dancing, but if we want to cleanse our heart of this false ego and this contamination, this attachment to matter, this attachment to darkness, then you have to clean the heart properly. It's like, yesterday I was cleaning some shoes. My son got his shoes dirty, so I was cleaning them. And then, you know, his shoes, they've got like these indentations in the sole, and you have to like get it out. So if I'm like got the shoe around the other way, and I'm just like pouring water on it, that dirt is not going to get out of the sole of the shoe, right? I mean, it probably will do after about 5 years of just pouring water on it. But when we chant japa, you know, are we really focusing? Are we really conscious, you know? Or are we like somewhere else? Are we thinking about something else? When we're taking prasadam, are we thinking this is Krishna's mercy? You know, this has been tasted by Krishna. We're taking Mahaprasadam. The Krishna has accepted this person, the Shishi Radhagokulananda. Pujaris have offered it and Radhagokulananda have sat down, eaten this, relished it, and it's their mercy. How conscious are we? Because to the degree that we're conscious of our devotional activities, to that degree, we will get the purification that we can achieve from those activities. So we also have to be very conscious when we're performing them. Another interesting point here, for me, I'm not sure where Prabhupada mentioned it in the verse, and I don't think I'll look all the way through the purport to find it, unless I'm very lucky. Oh yeah, it's him. So Prabhupada says that the impersonalist thus cannot conceive of the Lord's eternal spiritual form of eternal knowledge, bliss, and existence. The reason is that the Lord reserves the right of not exposing himself to the non-devotee, who, even after a thorough study of literature like the Bhagavad Gita, remains an impersonalist simply by obstinacy. This obstinacy is due to the actions of yoga maya, a personal energy of the Lord that acts like an aide-de-camp by covering the vision of the obstinate impersonalist. So it's a very interesting thing that as devotees, yeah, we want to serve Krishna, we want to be attached to Krishna, and we want to develop that relationship. And we're understanding the process, we're trying to understand, okay, how to practice Krishna consciousness, how to apply it, what do I do, what don't I do, I should get up early, I should be humble, I should be respectful, I should be clean, what are all the different aspects of Vaishnava etiquette, what is the philosophy, how do we distribute books, you know, how do I live my life as a grihastha, this process, and that's extremely important, of course. That's our sambandha, that's our abhideya, our practice of devotional service. But it's also a relationship, and it's also dependent on Krishna. So night before last, I stayed in Soho Temple, and Dira Shanta Maharaj gave class yesterday morning in Soho. And it was a very nice class. He was explaining that he's been a devotee now for 50 years. It's his like 50-year anniversary of being a devotee this year. I think he's 72. I think he joined when he was 22 or 21. And he's very humble, and he tells lots of stories about foolish things he's done in devotional service, or different struggles, or different situations he's been through. And he was explaining that Maya will test you, and Krishna will test you. And then at a particular point, Krishna will be satisfied, and he'll say, or gradually, he'll say, you know, okay, I'm pleased by your efforts, so I'll reveal this thing to you. So it's an interesting thing. It's not just a process that we're performing. It's not just, you know, A plus B equals C, or I put in this much effort. And we all experience that, I think. You go out on book distribution. Sometimes it goes really well. Sometimes it goes really bad. Or, you know, you have a period where nobody's taking any books, and then, you know, five people take books in a row. Or you get up from Mangal Arati, and you come to the temple and you chant your japa, and it's just like, you just can't concentrate. You're thinking about so many different things. And you come up another day, you come from anxiety, and you just have a great japa period. So it's not all about 1 + 1 = 2 or, you know, the process of devotional service. It's also about Krishna's interaction. And it's about a relationship with Krishna. Yes, we have to do the right thing, but we won't be able to get the mercy of Krishna and be successful unless he actually sanctions it. And that's why it's saying in this verse that Yogamaya Samavrita, that Krishna is covering himself by this Yogamaya to people that he doesn't want to bring close to him, to people that don't deserve to come close to him. And we have to pray, we have to develop that mood that Krishna, you know, I'm trying my best, I'm trying to be a humble servant, I'm trying to get up early in the morning, I'm trying to serve my family nicely or be a good brahmachari, but without your mercy, even if I do everything perfectly, then what can I achieve? You know, I'm not going to get 100% in my sadhana. I'm not going to force myself. I remember being a brahmachari and like being in japa period, like really trying to force myself to always chant attentively. But you can't do it forever. You can't just force yourself to be Krishna conscious. You have to just try your best and then depend on the mercy of Radha Gokulananda. And one day, if Krishna is happy with your endeavors, then he will reveal himself. My spiritual master was also saying that really, well, no, there's sadhana siddha, kripa siddha, and, well, that's the two, right? Generally, they have nitya siddhas, nitya badhas, but in general, kripa siddha or sadhana siddhas. But he's saying even sadhana siddhas, they're not really just sadhana siddhas, it's dependent upon mercy ultimately. So we try our best, and then Krishna at one point, he says, okay, I'm happy with you, and come to me, come back to me. And we should have faith. We should also have faith, and this will be my last point, that if we try our best, we're trying to become free from this materialistic ego. We're trying to become free as far as possible from unnecessary material endeavors. We're trying to cultivate knowledge, as Srila Prabhupada is saying, have a correct understanding of who Krishna is, and to practice the process of Krishna consciousness, then we should have faith that this process has the potential to give us the correct understanding of actually who we are, that we won't be walking around blinded by ignorance in this material world forever with no understanding at all of actually who actually am I, what is my eternal reality, what is my eternal identity, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go forever? We want to go back to the spiritual world, right? And we're going to be there forever, eternally with Krishna. But where is it I'm going to go? What am I going to be doing? Who am I going to be with? The devotional service has the potentiality to reveal that to us. So in the past, they used to practice this process called Siddha Pranali. I don't know so much about it, but people who would be more qualified in devotional service in the past, then their spiritual masters would tell them who they were in the spiritual world, tell them who their spiritual form was, and they would cultivate that, they would meditate on that and chant and different things. But in this age, we're not qualified for such a thing because we're so covered by the material energy. So that process is no longer there. And people would go, I think, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was Gorkhashore Das Babaji, somebody went to Gorkhashore Das Babaji and they were inquiring about this process, about Siddha Pranali. And he said, we don't do that. He said, you chant the syllables of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the holy name will reveal your spiritual form to you. So we have the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We're chanting it every day and it has the ability to reveal everything to us. It has the ability to solve all of the problems, to dissipate all of the darkness, dissipate all of the ignorance, and give you your original identity as a servant of Krishna. And that's a nice thing to think about and meditate on, because it means we don't need anything else. I don't need to go somewhere else. I don't need to go to India. I don't need to read some esoteric book. I don't need to get a particular thing from somewhere. I have exactly what I need right here. But how am I doing it? How am I chanting? Am I chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in such a way that that could potentially happen? Or am I chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra and planning what I'm going to do for the rest of the day? Or am I chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and lamenting about what I didn't do yesterday? Or just thinking about, or just being taken here, there and everywhere by the mind? Because it's right there, it's actually waiting for us. You know, our original position is waiting for us. It's just dependent on us to be able to approach that and Krishna in the correct way. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you very much for your attention. Does anybody have any comments or questions or corrections? Adiguru Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. I've just gone back to the verse. It's very interesting. This Dravya Kriya and Jnana Shaktis, they're usually attributed to the Lord as his thinking, feeling and willing. That's another name for them. Hmm. And Prabhupada gives this translation different with the jiva. It's quite interesting, you know, and that the fact that the three modes create from the false ego. The false ego is the first element of creation, I think, from Vasudeva, Lord Shiva, something like that. There's some description. That is very interesting.
Yeah. It's very variegated and subtle, isn't it? All the different divisions of the creation. Yeah, it can be difficult to understand. It's very intricate.
False ego, the most subtle of all the elements. Tatashta. It's a source of material creation. Which is Lord Shiva, who is connected to Vasudeva, something.
Yeah. Thank you. Ian Prabhu.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much for class. I mean, there's so many things that so many questions that, you know, come into mind. But just based on what you concluded with, and you're talking about, like, Siddha Pranali, and obviously how it doesn't really work for us because we're too covered by the material energy. When we look at, like, our process of devotional service, we are appreciating that Mahaprabhu has come to give us the topmost thing. And in one sense, what has come to give us is not something that we could easily access ourselves. So looking at this, is it that we are aspiring to find out our original identity in how we perform if we're all focused towards getting the topmost thing from Mahaprabhu, because in that sense it sounds like what Mahaprabhu is coming to give us is not something we've had. So my question is should we be trying to meditate on our form, or is it on like on who we are, or is it like our mood of actually just practicing devotional service and actively taking to do this in our life, and then that becomes revealed to us when it comes? There's some clarity.
Yeah, it's a good point. Because there's different things in spiritual life, isn't it? It's not like, yeah, I'm just going to meditate on Krishna and forget about myself. Like, we're conscious of lots of different things at the same time. I know that I'm here sitting on the Vyasasan. The temple room is here. The deities are on the altar. It's like I was saying about Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, that it's all there. But I think the emphasis should be on Krishna. Like I was saying, that Krishna Soya Sama Hoya Maya Andhakar. And like the sun rising, then when the sun rises, then you see yourself as well. So when we're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we're not meditating, who am I, who am I, who am I, who am I, right? We're meditating on Krishna, we're listening to Krishna's names. And for us, that's the big challenge. The big challenge is our mind is so full of material desires that when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, I mean, it's so horrible actually. I think myself that I'm so offensive that I come to chant japa and I just think of other things. How little attraction I have for Krishna. How little attachment I have. Why do I think about other things when I chant japa? You know, why can't I just be attached to Krishna and think of Krishna and be attentive? It takes such an effort to just focus my mind on that. But I would say that for us, that's the key thing, is like we're chanting our japa. Like I was saying, that can give us everything. Just try and chant attentively. If you can just chant japa attentively, then everything is solved. You're in that, Krishna is in that, what you should do, how you should do it, your spiritual life, your material life, the holy name will give answers to to everything. But it's primarily focusing on Krishna. Krishna is the purifying factor in everything. But at the same time, we're also conscious of ourselves and what we're doing in the world around us. It's not that there's one or the other, it's all of them, but the focus is on serving Krishna, meditating on Krishna. Krishna's holy name is what's going to purify us of these false conceptions. David, and then this Mataji.
Thank you for the classroom, Krishna Prabhu. The question I have is about, you mentioned about serving Krishna, but also about that it's very general, that we just, that we're a spirit soul. And I'm trying to understand in terms of that it's important to know who we serve, but also in terms of our relationship with Krishna and our spiritual identity, if that relationship, that we have to know more specifics in terms of how to serve in our own specific mood.
Yeah, well, it's important to think about it, but the way to understand it is through correctly surrendering to the holy name and chanting, and it becomes revealed in time and over a long period of time. So we start with that I'm a soul, and in the beginning we should just try and get used to that and get fixed in that. But we should also understand that I'm not going to be like some generic white light floating around in Goloka Vrindavan. I'm going to be something in the spiritual world later, and that's why we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam, hear Krishna book, hear Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is it? Where are we going? That one devotee was saying to me the other day, I don't remember who it was, it was Lokabandhupu, I think, that in the Bhagavatam, there's not any information about Vaikuntha, or very little information about Vaikuntha. If you want to find out about Vaikuntha, where do you look in our books to get like a lot of information about what it's like there? I mean, there's hardly anything. But the information about Goloka Vrindavan is extensive. So just hearing about those things, it gets us used to, okay, what's the goal? Where are we going to go? That we're not worshipping Narayan on the altar, we're worshipping Radha and Krishna. So it's already imbued, our whole devotional culture and life is imbued with that mood that we're going to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. And as we chant, then we just gradually become purified. So it takes time, and it's a thing. To not go too fast and not go too slow as well. We don't want to go fast. If you get on the bicycle and you're like, you're just going to smash into a tree or fall off. But if you get on a bicycle and you go so slow, you're going to fall off as well. You've got to know how to do it. So in the beginning, we understand I'm a soul. Try and think as a soul, as a servant, as a selfless servant. As a selfless servant of the devotees and of Krishna. And then over time, then gradually these things develop. So we don't have to rush, but we should also understand, ultimately I want to go back to Krishna and be his little servant. Yeah? Yeah? Go ahead.
And movement is in the spiritual world as well.
Yeah.
And that it's also mentioned that it's in the heavenly planets. So I'm just wondering, in terms of the Sankirtan movement in the heavenly planets, if that's actually...
Is that better?
If that's a way, an actual path of purification also.
Might be easier to get there, huh?
Yes.
I haven't heard about the Sankirtan movement in the heavenly planets. I mean, I'm sure they do kirtan and stuff, but that's not like a destination that we want to go to. In fact, it's a place devotees don't want to go to because it's such a detour. So, yeah, I mean, people are performing Sankirtan in so many different places. You can do Sankirtan in Ukraine. You can do Sankirtan in Hawaii. But we want to go to that place that is eternal, where we can eternally do Sankirtan in the association of the Lord and the Nitya Siddhas. So, yeah, no, we don't want to go back to heaven and do that. We don't even want to stop there on the way home. We just want to go get back safe, stay there. Mataji, you had a question?
Yes, I was wondering, how can we keep our spiritual identity in the material world? Because it's very easy here to focus on our spirituality. But the second I leave here, I have rent and Wi-Fi and all these things to worry about. So in the past, I used to work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. How do you find that balance? Because that's the real challenge.
Yeah.
The second I leave here.
Yeah, yeah. I have as grihasthas, we all have the same, whoever's a grihastha, we have the same things to deal with. You have to pay your rent, you have to get your car deposits, MOT, all of these different things. And you have to organize your life in such a way that you at least have that core spiritual practice. So I don't know how much you're practicing Krishna consciousness. Are you initiated? Or?
No, I'm new to that process, but not new to spirituality.
Okay, so you have to prioritize your spiritual life. And then other things will manifest around that. So people think, oh, you have to, you know, do this job and I have to work this many hours. But like in my life, I've gone through so many different situations. There's been so many different opportunities. So many different things have changed so many times. If you prioritize your spiritual life, that okay, every day I'm going to dedicate this much time to chanting and reading and coming to the temple, and then the other things will kialakul, they say in Hungarian, they'll like fit in around that. So you have to have a balance, and it changes through the course of your devotional service. But we should have that core, that spiritual practice, and we should get to the point where we're chanting 16 rounds as well and following the four regulative principles. And we just have to do that. And it depends on how many, you know, obligations you have, if you have children or if you have mortgage or these kind of things. So, but the main thing is our spiritual life. For millions of births, we've had a place to live and, you know, some conveyances and family. That's not the goal of our life. Yeah, you need to eat, but my spiritual master also says, do the minimum materially. You don't need that massive mortgage. You don't need that new car. It's a bigger burden and it takes more time and energy to maintain. Do the minimum and then maximize the time that you can practicing spiritual life. But it's also good to have somebody who can guide you, to have a mentor or a guide or a senior devotee who can give you advice according exactly to your situation, and they can help you take steps according to where you're at. Is that okay? Did you want to say something, Prabhu? Or not? And we can finish it already way over time. Yeah.
So in the Bhagavatam, I think it's Narada Muni. In his previous verse, he was Gandhava. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's described how he was associating with his girlfriend, singing love songs, and then Gandhava's upcoming Sankirtan party was chanting, and because he was chanting love songs, they cursed him. So, yeah, there is Sankirtan in the heavenly planets, at least Gandhava Loka. And also, David's first question about. So, as we advance, I think I read Sivarama Swami saying this in his book, as we advance, we'll naturally be attracted to certain topics. Will be attracted to certain sections of the Bhagavatam. Will be attracted to certain pastimes. So it'd be like an actual organic attraction. Not that we're forcing ourselves to. And then as we progress, it will be shown to us. It'll be more clearer. But as we advance, we'll be attracted to wanting to hear a certain pastime. Some people are into philosophy. Science, you know. Some devotees, we may be into hearing pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. Someone may be attracted more to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes or certain sections of the pastimes. So it's a natural organic process.
Yeah.
But that's only going to happen if we focus on the Vaidhi Bhakti of chanting Hare Krishna and really focusing on that. Trying to chant without offense.
Yeah.
And we'll naturally be advancing. Be attracted.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, thank you all for your attention. Grantra Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.